Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Happy Friday. Welcome into Sabres Live. Joe Yurden is in for Marty Baron on this day, and we have a lot to get to, Joe, as we follow the path, perhaps, of the Mercury rising this weekend, in this late summer weekend. We will look and see whether teams in the Eastern Conference are also going to be on the rise, or might they dip? Now, you know the length of the average first segment here on Sabres Live, so when you're trying to get through all the Eastern Conference teams, we're going to have to channel our inner Marty and talk rather quickly today. We should start at the top with Florida. 110 points, Stanley Cup win, elite team the last 5 years. They've suffered a few losses. Will they go up or down this regular season?
I think they go a little bit down. Just because they didn't, again, you don't have anybody to replace Brandon Montour. That's tough. The forward depth takes a little bit of a hit, but their elite players are all still there. They're at the point now where you can't really deny them. Like, they're still going to be really good, but I don't know, maybe 105 points as opposed to 110.
I think that's fair. I think the business side of it that they took care of with Reinhardt was amazing and just impactful for the long term for them. Yeah, they lose Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Stenlin and Tarasenko and Lomberg. Stolarz might be one of the more interesting losses to watch, though, as whether Spencer Knight comes in and is able to, or Chris Drieger, you know, with Bob. What do you think? What should we expect from Bob now that he's scaled the mountain?
You know, I think Bob's what he is now. I think we kind of get what he's going to be. There's going to be those fits and starts with him where there's going to be like a cold streak in the middle of the year where you're like, I don't know if this guy's still got it. It's going to be pretty tough. And then he goes nuclear for 2 months and you're like, oh, right. There's the guy that won a cup now and won a couple of Vezinas. Yeah. I mean, it'll get sketchy sometimes with him, but I don't have any real reason to doubt him. He is who he is now. He's what, 37 now? Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Is he that old? He's not that old.
Is he? I don't know. Listen,
hang on.
The ages get fuzzy now because I get lost, but he's
35.
35. Okay. All right. Yeah. That feels a little bit better.
But speaking of goaltending, Boston has had the dynamic duo. One of them remains unsigned. One of them finds himself in Ottawa. They've added Zadorov. They've added Lindholm on the heels of 108 points. But despite being the best regular season team in the NHL for 60 years, the Bruins, once again, did not get as far as they would have liked. What should we expect from Boston?
You know, I didn't like the Lindholm signing. I was very down on him. When he went to Vancouver and during the playoffs and the whole thing, I just didn't like the way he played. He's a good player. I mean, we've seen in the past with Calgary and Carolina, he's can be really good, but I don't know. But Boston's got a weird black magic to him where things just work for him. You know, every time you're just like, I don't know if that's good. I don't know. This is the time. They're going to go down. They're going to drop. And then they don't. But to me, the big guy that's going to come back for him is Matt Poitras. He was so good last year as a rookie, and you know, he gets hurt, he misses the rest of the season. He's going to be back. I think he's going to be really good. That's going to solve a lot of the middle of the ice problems for him, which weren't really problems last year. But you lose him, you lose DeBrusk, you lose, you get Lindholm back. Zadorov's gonna become a cult hero in Boston the second he lays out like Austin Matthews or somebody, or he starts face washing somebody. So I think Boston's gonna be about neutral. They should dip. We've been saying it for 10 years now. They're gonna dip, but they never dip. It just works. And
yeah, so, I mean, obviously
done, and they'll be fine.
There was a dip last year only because the previous year was record setting, but it's hard to imagine them dipping much below the 108, maybe a couple of points. Toronto wasn't far behind at 102. Toronto, since Matthews came in to the league, has been in the playoffs every year. They've added some on the blue line. They have not had anywhere near the playoff success to reflect how good they've been in regular seasons in the last half dozen years. What do we make of the Leafs? Up, down, same?
They're going to be good because the offensive talent is that good. You know, Nylander's great. Marner's great. I know it's a contract year for Marner, so who knows what he's gonna put up. That's gonna be dramatic. It's dramatic in Toronto no matter what, but that's gonna be really dramatic with Marner. Matthews is incredible. The defensive ads are good. Tanev,
yeah,
I think there's a cliff coming for him, but he's really good still. Ekman-Larsson was great. Getting Stolarz is a big one for him because Joe Wall's gonna need some backup there. I know they love him, but Wall's gonna need the backup because he can't stay healthy. He's a great goalie, but boy, oh boy, can he struggle to stay in the lineup. They're going to be, I think they're going to be up a little bit, but it always seems really fraught for them where it's one issue away from completely falling in on itself.
Perhaps the most fascinating and least talked about would be Tampa. They made it again. They had 98 points. They've been there 10 of 11. We all know the finals trips and the cup success in back-to-back years, but they actually added Jake Guentzel. Like, this is amazing. Not many teams can brag about this. However, while also bringing in a established, familiar presence in Ryan McDonagh and lesser on the blue line, JJ Moser, they are starting life without Stamkos and Sergachev. What do we expect from the Lightning?
I think the Lightning are going to be very good. I don't like the way things happen with Stamkos. I thought that was boiling over for a year. Hated the way that happened. Trading Sergachev, while stunning, seemed like that was maybe on the horizon. It all depended on like what Victor Hedman's future was going to be. And he's going to be a Lightning for life. So like that's done. But Sergachev was a number one style defenseman. And he wasn't getting any of that responsibility in Tampa. So I get why that trade happens. But JJ Moser's really good.
Yes.
He's not Sergachev good. Like, let's be real here, but he's going to shine in Tampa. He's going to be fantastic there. And people are going to be like, wow, this guy's really good. Where'd he come from? Well, he came out of Arizona. So go figure. But Vasilevsky.
Last of the desert dogs.
Right. So, but like Vasilevsky had such a weird year last year, mostly down, but like coming back from the back surgery and all that stuff. I think he's going to be back to his old self next season. Like, there's so much about them where it's like, I don't know what's going on with this team, but I think Tampa's going to be really good and they're going to be right back there. And people are going to be like, geez, I thought these guys were going to go fade somewhere.
Interesting depth on the Lightning that will play itself out over time as far as the competition among its bottom six. The Red Wings were this close, just like the Sabres the year before, that 91 points, and it wasn't enough. It was enough to get them tied for the final spot, but they couldn't win the tiebreaker. So they've had 8 straight years out of the playoffs. Kane and Tarasenko are together again. This time it's in the Motor City. They have a 3-goalie monster to start the year in Husso and Talbot and Lyon. And they still need to sign a couple of key pieces.
Yeah, they got to get Lucas Raymond and Moritz Seider. They have to get their contracts done. They're going to get it done at some point. I don't like the way Detroit sets up at all. I know Cam Talbot had a nice year last year. Bounced back pretty strong after his tough year in Ottawa. He's as tough and dogged as they get. And Alex Lyon's very good. They didn't upgrade in the areas they really needed to upgrade. We're going to see how Simon Edmondson does on defense. I'm really interested to see what he is because the hype with him was that he's a big bruiser, tough guy on defense, really physical. And the games I watched of him, he wasn't any of that. He was a puck mover, did all that, which, hey, they need that too. They lost Shane Gostisbehere, had a great year for them last year, and he's gone. So they're going to need Eric Gustafson to kind of fill that role, and he's not quite as good as Shane Gostisbehere when it comes to that stuff. I don't know that they upgraded their forwards well enough. They've got lots of like young guys and prospects that could jump into the fire, but I don't know. I think they're in the fight for the wild card all year, but I don't know that they really improved all that much.
What about the Sabres, who were 7 points behind Detroit? They, of course, had 91 in the previous season. We talk all the time about the changes they've made this offseason, so we can probably be brief on this, but the biggest change, obviously, is Lindy.
Yeah, I think they improve, but it's because last year was so down. Because last year was such a drag back to being average last season. They're going to be better. Because the areas that they were really weak in last year, they went out and improved those in the offseason because, you know, the bottom six had to be better and faster. They did that. Lindy's going to be is if he doesn't figure it out, there's a lot more questions to answer here. But I think Lindy knows how to get the job done coaching wise. Lukanen's got the confidence that I think everybody's been waiting for him to have. He looks great. Looked great last season. I don't worry about goaltending at all, which is an amazing thing to say finally about the Sabres. How the offense kind of fills the Jeff Skinner void is going to be interesting, but I think healthy Quinn, I think Zucker's a solid addition. But like, man, Jack Quinn being healthy is going to change a lot of that, because he was so good when he played last year. It's just that, you know, the injuries were so mean to him.
100%. There were three coaching changes in the Atlantic. Toronto, of course, with Berube, Lindy Ruff coming back here in Buffalo, and Ottawa with Travis Green. Green's stint in New Jersey, ill-fated, as it turned out. Ottawa has missed seven straight years. They desperately need full health, especially in the form of Josh Norris. It remains to be seen whether that happens. They've brought in David Perron. They brought in Michael Amadio. They'll get a full year of Shane Pinto. Chychrun's not on the blue line anymore, and they got a Vezina winner for free. That's basically what the question is among the many. Like, Linus Ullmark has never played 50 games in a regular season. Can he play 60 for Ottawa? And is that what needs to happen?
We're going to find out, aren't we? I don't imagine Ottawa is too gung-ho to have Anton Forsberg play as many games as he was, you know, as he ended up playing last year. I think, I don't know. I mean, it's a contract year for Linus, so there's a good enough motivation for him to play 60 and to be great. I know it always feels a little dicey with him and a little bit like, let's see how it goes. But he plays solid. It seemed like a lot of the games that he lost last year in Boston last year, especially postseason, team didn't score for him, which could be an issue in Ottawa too. Yeah. Because the offense
shouldn't be though.
Shouldn't
in
be.
In theory,
no.
Right?
Yeah. Right. Because they've got guys. I mean, there's guys there. I mean, plenty of guys that can score. But I think they're going to be a team that's going to try to do it a little Florida like, where they're going to annoy the garbage out of everybody. You know, Perron drives people crazy. Amadio plays a great, hard, straight line game. Mm-hmm. He's not like a pest or any of that stuff, but he just goes hard every shift. He was a guy that I was hoping Buffalo was going to sniff around at too. Mm-hmm. But I think those are solid additions, but yeah, they got to be healthy. They have to stay healthy. Shabbat missed so much time last year.
Yeah. Recent years.
You want to see Sanderson take a step, take another step. So yeah, we'll see. But I don't know. They were a team that was, again, they were so down last year. I see them coming up, but I don't know if it's playoff level.
Agreed. They did have a dip last year to 78, which was barely ahead of Montreal at 76, who finished last in the Atlantic for a third straight year. They lucked out probably at the draft. They might have lucked out with Patrick Laine and it not costing them anything. They'll get, let's assume, a full year from Lane Hudson, which could be fun to watch, and a healthy Kirby Doc. What should we see from Montreal now that they appear more stable than before?
Yeah, they'll be better. They're on a very, like, it's a rebuild, and it's a very, like, slow playing out rebuild, and it's a slow incline up the mountain for them. And it's such a competitive conference and division that it's hard to gain ground. I think we know that very well in Buffalo. It's tough to find a way to get up the hill, but a full year of Cole Caulfield not being injured, that's going to be a big help. That's another team that needs to just be healthy. You know, Caden Gooley missed a lot of time last year with injuries. You know, Nick Suzuki had to, like, kind of hold everything together all year long. It's such an odd mix because it's really young. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really young guys there, and the veterans they have, it feels like the clock's kind of ticking on them. Like, you're waiting for them to either get traded or just be like, all right, that's enough. You know, Josh Anderson, Savard, like those guys. But the young guys they have are really interesting. I'm very curious about Hudson because he's such a small player, and he's a defenseman too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's a very diminutive defenseman, and that doesn't always work in the NHL, but his skill, his speed, and his creativity could change the game completely.
It could.
It's very tough to say that, like, this is going to be a mind-blowing year for them. They're going to be better. They've been a pain to play since Marty St. Louis took over. So I like the setup, but I don't know. It's really difficult.
Trending up or down, we're rapid fire through the East today, and it's hard to imagine that many are going the wrong way at this point in time, which by the end of this exercise in 10 minutes, you might see, a projection as to what it will take to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. Let's rattle through the Metro. The Rangers had a franchise best 114 points last year, but it didn't get them what they wanted. They're basically rolling back a very similar lineup with an addition of Riley Smith. Real quick on the Rangers, up, down?
Slightly down. I think the Smith addition's good because I think he wasn't the right fit in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't work. Didn't work from the beginning. They needed somebody to kind of step in there, with the kind of Blake Wheeler sort of spot there. They just needed another veteran guy in the wing to mm-hmm. help out. So I think that'll work. The Trouba situation is, I don't know, everybody's playing it cool. Everybody's being nice about it. Like they were ready to move him out, and then it didn't happen. And now everybody's like, no, we're pros. We'll get it going here. But the first suspension, first misplay, the fans are going to be all over them. It's going to be ugly, but they're still stupid deep, stupid good. Shesterkin's, arguably the best goalie in the league. They're going to be awesome. They're going to be really good, but President's Trophy again, probably not, but they'll be fine.
The Canes were 3 points behind at 111, and it could be argued that no team has undergone more change from where they were in the middle of last season to where they are now. Are they going up or down?
I don't. Something about Carolina doesn't really sit well with me. The overall talent's obviously good. Aho is fantastic. But a lot of the makeup, they lose Pesci. You lose Teravainen. Brady Shea. That's two big defensemen I'll be losing. Mm-hmm. Like that's two guys out of your top four. I think they're coming back a bit, and the goaltending always seems to be up in the air. I think, Kachetkov's the guy, but like they haven't handed the keys to him. I think finally that happens this year, but, I don't know. I think that the East is so competitive. There's going to be some teams that slip down and that mm-hmm. come back to the pack that maybe we don't expect. I think Carolina might be it. They've been supposed to be knocking on the door to get to the Stanley Cup final for what, 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah.
They just don't get it done. And
no.
if they were in a bigger market, there'd be a ton of pressure.
They kept their coach though, and they've been to the playoffs every year under Brendan Moore. It'll be interesting to see whether they can overcome, and not to mention, they've got to get Seth Jarvis's deal done. Yeah. And then what will that mean? But any team that signs Will Carrier for 6 years, I'm willing to give them a tip of the cap. Yeah. The Islanders at 94 points, and the Islanders have made the playoffs 5 of the last 6 years. They haven't changed a lot, but we get a full year of Patrick Waugh behind the bench.
Yeah. And listen, I like that Patrick Waugh doesn't exactly play the classic sort of Lou Lamoriello, grind it up, grind everybody down, wear everybody out kind of hockey. Like Patrick's gonna do things his way. It's a little bit like that, but it's opened up a little bit more. There's some good offensive parts there. I like the addition of Duclair. I think that was a smart ad for them. And besides, there might be four other signings for them before camp even opens because Lou, keeps everything under lock and key. I mean, who knows? But with them, I don't think they've lost too much. I mean, they lost a couple of really tough guys with Martin and Clutterbuck, but they've already found a couple of guys that can replace that sort of action lower the lineup. But there's really good parts. Noah Dobson's a great defenseman. Their goaltending is fantastic. They got to stop messing around with Ilya Sorokin though. Like I don't know what happened there at the end of the season in the playoffs where Varlamov was the guy to go with, but that seems to be that's Patrick's honeypot right there with goaltending. So yeah. they'll be the same.
I think it feels
like a cop out to say like push.
No,
they're about the same.
They fit that they kind of fit that profile, and it's allowed them to make it in 5 of the last 6 years. The Capitals have made it in 9 of the last 10 and 15 of 17, and did so unexpectedly last year with a new coach and a different number one goaltender. Real quick on the Caps, 91, up, down, in, out.
I think with believing that Carolina's slipping back, I think Washington's the one that kind of, that steals those points. I mean,
interesting.
They kind of stole their way through it last year. Like all last season, I kept saying this is a phony team. They're gonna crash. They're gonna collapse. It's gonna be ugly. They're the old parts. They can't get it done. They kept getting it done, and now they're a lot better. Like they addressed all of those concerns in the offseason and said, you know what? We need to be a lot better here. I don't know if the Dubois trade is going to necessarily work out for him, but they got Strome to work out really well for them there. They saved his career, and he became a really great player for him. Adding Matt Roy was a great addition. That guy is defense personified right there, and they needed that help on the blue line. I think the Caps are going to be a very difficult team, and plus, you got Ovi going for the record, and he was so bad for 3/4 of the season. He might get it done this year.
Dana Goldman's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Joe Yurden's with us right now. Marty's off today. The Penguins made a move yesterday that we'll go deeper in to detail with Shayna. But the Penguins missed for a second straight year last year, and as of right now, the coach has remained in place, despite a little bit of speculation on that front at the end of the season. What should we expect from the Penguins?
Sid was so good last year, and I don't know how much longer you can expect him and Malkin
contract
and
here.
Carlson. Yeah, listen, it's been a long time since Sid had a contract year, and he didn't have to worry about it last time. He doesn't have to worry about it now. Pittsburgh's going to re-sign him, but if he sees the ship sinking, I can't imagine him leaving. But this has been a very slow crash to earth for Pittsburgh. And the last 2 years of missing the playoffs, where it's like they were that close, just missed out. The floor's fallen out from under them at one of these years. And it might be this year. I don't like a lot of the moves. They have no depth. They have no prospect help. No, I mean, Braden Yeager is a really good one. McGroarty might make the lineup this year. They've made some additions. It's basically just they're trying to tread water, it feels like. And they're going to be battling for a wild card, but I don't like the setup there at all.
Byproduct of the success they've had, as we all know. Philadelphia has not had that success, of course, in recent memory. 4 straight misses, but they ascended to 87 points last year. Could have been higher if they'd really committed to perhaps finishing as a competitor as opposed to a seller at the deadline. But anyway, Michkov is the shiny new toy. What should we expect from Philly?
I think they'll be a little bit better because that was a learning thing last year. They played way over their heads, but that's because Torts got the best out of them. I think Torts might have learned a lesson, though, by riding him as hard as he did for the first 3/4 of the season, because they were out of gas at the end of the year. Like they just didn't have anything left. He had injuries, he had all kinds of stuff. They didn't have Risto all year, which some people say that was probably helped them out. But it's tough to take a guy like that out of the lineup when he's played well for them, which he has. But I think adding Michkov is going to be fun. That's going to make the Flyers fans all kinds of fired up there. They didn't make any big moves. They weren't very bold about anything. They're just kind of plugging along with it, but it might work for them because Torts knows what he's got. He's got his guys. And I think they all understand the mission and what they're going to be doing and what they're getting into. So I think they'll be a little bit better. Okay. Goaltending's going to be, could be an issue, but Erson, I don't know. Every time Erson plays the Sabres, he looks like Bernie Perron. So
that's true, and that's an unfortunate reference. yes. New Jersey had 81 points. They were our team of the day the other day, so we've dissected them in all directions. You have to assume they are trending up again, right?
Way up, up. I loved every move they made. Player-wise was great. Criticisms I had for Sheldon Keefe aside in Toronto, he's a good coach. He's obviously a very good regular season coach. He knows the switches to pull there, and there's so much talent and a healthy Dougie Hamilton. You know, if Jack Hughes plays an 82 game season, I mean, the numbers that he'll post will be out of control.
Markstrom and Pesci.
Yeah. It's so many really good players. Adding Markstrom, I think Markstrom's going to have a great year in Jersey. He's a very good goalie. It's just, you know, it was messy in Calgary. But adding Pesci to the blue line, a healthy Dougie Hamilton, I love Jersey. I think Jersey's way up. It's going to be them battling with the Rangers for number one. Yeah. I think the Caps are right underneath them right now. But
yep.
But it's Jersey and the Rangers for me battling in that division.
How much higher can the Jackets go from the 66 points? They've got a new coach in Evason, a new GM in Waddell. They've got oodles of cap space, which may or may not get used. They signed Monahan. They've moved off of Line A. They still have the same goaltending. Yeah. Do they want to change the expectations within the organization?
Yeah, a full season of Adam Fantilli is going to help. Oh. I think, you know, that's a dynamite player waiting to break out. And this might be the year he gets the bust out. And everybody goes, oh, right. That's why he was up there in the draft. Still bad. Still not a playoff team, but I think they'll be better. I like this. I like the Monahan signing just because it kind of balances everything else out. They, you know, had so many questions at center, and Monahan kind of quiets that down a little bit, at least in the upper part of the lineup, but still not great. I love Zach Werenski. He's great. The rest of the defense is like, you know, I want to see David Jiříček play a whole season there as opposed to having the Amerks have to see him occasionally. Like, that's enough of that. But, there's good pieces. They're just, those pieces are really young, and it's going to take a couple more years, I think.
Well, do you know what happened last year in the Eastern Conference? We saw history in the form of the point total required for the playoffs in the wild card era. It was the lowest it has ever been. 91 points over the years. 93, 98, 96, 95, 97, 98. Skip the COVID years. 100, 92, and 91 last year. Is it going to be lower than 91 this year or higher to get in the East?
I think it's going to be higher. I know. Maybe I'm like doing the inner brain math wrong on this one, but I think there's just so many teams that are going to be ultra competitive. Yeah. I think there's going to be a few more teams into the pool this year for the wild card. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot of, I mean, granted, they don't play a lot of the West teams very often, but I think most of the weaker teams are in the West. Mm-hmm. The teams in the East that end up being bad are going to take their lumps really hard, which doesn't bode well for Columbus, for instance. I don't know. Maybe I'm just doing the brain math here. It feels weird to say that less than 91 can get you in the playoffs, because then the question's like, well, are these teams actually good? I don't know.
Right.
I think it's gonna be higher. Might not be that much higher, like maybe 92, 93, maybe 94 at most. But I think that's a brutal slog for everybody to try to fight to get to 94 to get in.
It was so much higher in the West, and it probably will be once again this year. But I'm still stuck in this mindset where it's so tight in the East, and some of these top teams will come down a little bit, that I think 90, 91 is once again going to be the cut line. Joe, thank you for the rapid fire assessment of the Eastern Conference today, and we'll see you very soon.
You got it, Duffer. Thanks for having me.
There's Joe Yurden. Shana Goldman is next as we continue on this Friday edition of Sabres Live.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.